You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Welcome aboard. It is a post-Super Bowl Monday edition of the Gym Class coming your way here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour this afternoon and each and every day here in Eastern Iowa. Scott Unash with you. I'll be joined by Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, coming up in a moment. Isaac on the other side of the glass. And a lot to cover here today in the next 55 minutes or so. Of course, Super Bowl 59, the Philadelphia Eagles defeating the Chiefs last night. We'll talk about that. Everything Super Bowl with you. And that'll be coming up here in just a couple of moments. Big basketball weekend. Good for Iowa State. Not so good for Iowa. Good for you and I and others. So we will kick that around coming up. And we'll give you the results of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, the final edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. We'll have that before 4 o'clock today as well. Text line at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And you can also pick up the phone and give us a call, 319-366-1600. As we come your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And Mark Dukes, I hope you're having a good afternoon. How are you?
I am indeed, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there.
Yeah. Isaac, good weekend?
Yeah, it was fun. I had a lot of fun Friday night. That was some interesting wrestling going on in Carver. Yeah, it was really electric, though, after the pin there by Buchanan at 97. It was about as loud as I've heard it all season, I think.
Yeah, I thought you were kind of going down the in a long, long time road, but I think you're right about that's what I've heard from several people Friday night, that was as loud as it got all year.
Yeah, maybe for wrestling it might be a long, long time. For women's basketball, it certainly has been that loud, I'll say that much. But for wrestling, certainly the only thing that I can think this season maybe comes close is when Ayala beat Frost with Iowa State early in the year. But even then, I don't think it came close. I think that was just absolutely electric.
Were you surprised how close it was?
Yeah, I mean, it was because of some underperformances at 74 and 84. Kennedy, I would not be surprised if Nelson Brands gets another shot here soon, just based off of Kennedy's look. He looks tired. He was just absolutely gassed at the end of that. And then Gabe Arnold, I don't know what happened there. I have no explanation. He had some lazy shots on there. Just wasn't a great performance at those two weight classes there. They did lose points where I expect them to at 57. Even though Estrada, I think you got to give him credit. He's wrestling out of his mind for someone who was not expected to play a role this year and is probably wrestling at a weight class he's not going to wrestle at next year. I think he's probably going to be a 49-pounder. So I think you got to give him credit based off what he's seen. But yeah, underperformances at 74 and 84 really hurt Iowa and the Nebraska duel.
Do we need to implement the delay for Wednesday?
No.
Okay.
I think he'll be amped to talk about Buchanan and Keeter. Keeter really did well there. Yeah, that was a major, too, which I know just needed a win, but he still majored him, which is a significant, you know, uptick for Keeter there.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you, the phone line, as well on this post-Super Bowl Monday, Mark. And I'm here. I made it. Sun came up. Everything is good. And, yeah, I'm okay. People wondering, I'm okay. I told you I thought the Eagles could win. They certainly proved that last night. There was no doubt, very little doubt after the first quarter who was going to win that football game. And I'm disappointed, but I'm not upset, Mark. When you make the Super Bowl that many times, you're not going to win them all. And it was the Eagles' night, and hats off to them, and a great job by Cooper DeJean and others, and Philadelphia is your Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, 30 other teams would have liked to have been in the Chiefs' shoes last night, win or lose. They weren't. The Chiefs aren't going to go anywhere. And obviously, I think most of us, including the odds makers, expected a much closer game. Frankly, the Puppy Bowl was more exciting and had a better halftime show.
And I tuned in at halftime for the Puppy Bowl. Sorry, fans of what Kendrick Lamar and all that fun. Did you watch it, Isaac?
I'm yes. Sure.
Mark watched it.
I did watch. I really like Kendrick Lamar. He's okay. My most listened to artist for the past 6 years.
Okay. What'd you think? Was it good?
I really liked it. However, I understand there is a lot of context needed for what he did. So if you do not have that context, I can understand why you may not like it. I turned to my girlfriend immediately. I said, that's not going to be for everyone, but it was for me. So, and I am okay with that.
Was it for you, Mark? Your street cred went up yesterday, by the way, by watching the halftime performance.
I don't always, but I wanted to know more about Kendrick Lamar, and I actually read about him before the Super Bowl. I wanted to, rap is not my thing, so I hardly feel qualified to criticize or compliment the performance. Frankly, I thought it needed subtitles. You didn't need subtitles with McCartney when he did it. But be that as it may, I thought the dancers were fine. There were some underlying messages that Kendrick Lamar put out there, and bringing Serena Williams on stage and driving the dagger into Drake a little bit more. See, I know this stuff, Scott. I know this stuff, Isaac.
Yeah, there you go. So I watched the Puppy Bowl because I needed some soothing at halftime.
That's understandable.
I needed to look at adorable little puppies, and it helped. Not that it was, going to turn things around, certainly. 319-366-1600. Let's get to the game for a little bit, because there wasn't unless you were an Eagles, big Eagles fan, there wasn't a whole lot to really, go over. I think the Chiefs underestimated Philadelphia a little bit, Mark. I think it was one of the very few times under Andy Reid, I think the Chiefs had a really awful game plan that they tried to implement. And then when they got behind by 2 scores, they basically had to abandon that. The Chiefs' lack of offensive left and right tackles really showed, much like it did in the Tampa Super Bowl. You all know what happened there. Orlando Brown became a Chief, and the Chiefs went back to the Super Bowl then for a couple years and won it. I think it was more what Philadelphia did, Mark, and I'm going to tip my hat to them, than what the Chiefs did not do. No, the Chiefs did not play a good game, but Philadelphia was amped. Philadelphia played well, and the defensive scheme that Vic Fangio came up with really confused Patrick Mahomes. And I agree with Greg and Epworth. Never seen Mahomes look so disgruntled and defeated. And he did, whether it was Vaughn with the diving interception, Cooper DeJean with his pick six. To be honest with you, the Chiefs defense played a pretty good game. But you can't give Philadelphia the ball 3 times inside, the 20-yard line and throw a pick six. So the Eagles deserved to win that game. And remember when the Eagles, guys, what was that, Isaac, 2 months ago? Everyone said the Eagles were done because they're in fighting. They're in fighting. It's not going to happen. Heck, A.J. Brown was yelling at his coach yesterday. These things happen. That was a good team, and I think probably you can make an argument for the most consistently good team from start to finish. Them or Detroit before they got hurt. Certainly the Buffalo Bills, but what Saquon Barkley did not have a great game yesterday, and the Eagles still won in that fashion.
Well, the Yankees had a lot of infighting back in the day too, and they did was win championships. So, and I don't know how the Chiefs could underestimate Philadelphia. It's probably the best roster in the NFL. And I think it showed yesterday. Jalen Hurts was the MV, MVP, but the real MVPs was the front four of Philadelphia's defense. There's no question about it.
I have no idea how Jalen Hurts was the MVP. I know why, because he's a quarterback.
Josh Sweat was terrific. The Eagles sacked Mahomes 6 times and never blitzed. I've never heard of that, Scott. And, you know, I think that was the big key to the game. And when DeGene intercepted that, and obviously it's a terrific story with a small-town kid from Iowa. Everybody in Iowa loved it. But when he picked that pass off and returned it for a touchdown, it was 17-0. And then Bond came up with an interception. It was over.
Yeah, that's the pick. Chiefs could have come back, maybe. I don't think they were going to, but 17 down, it's possible. But when they threw the next pick, it was over. 319-366-1600, if you'd like to enter your thoughts about the game. Again, 319-366-1600. And I expected Hurts to win the MVP. I'm with you. It should have been Sweat or Williams, one of those two, in my opinion. Vic Fangio should have won the MVP in that game because he had the Chiefs just absolutely, totally messed up from start to finish in that one. I do not know why there was, in the game plan, there was no running for the Chiefs. Okay, we're going to throw the ball on deep drop backs against the Philadelphia defense. Come on. Ran the ball, I believe, once in the first 3 possessions. And you don't establish. I said Friday, I think the Chiefs got to run the ball, Mark, and they didn't run the ball.
Yeah, and the Eagles didn't need to. You referred to Barkley not having a good game, 50-some yards. And, you know, he caught some passes, a couple big ones, but largely was not a big factor in the game. It was just the defense more than anything. And then Philadelphia came up with some good offensive timely plays, and that was about it. And the Chiefs didn't roll out Mahomes until later in the game either. They just kept him squarely in the pocket, and 4 guys pounded him.
I was hoping that he was going to make it through that game okay.
What was he doing in the game with 2 minutes left?
No idea. No, none.
We're down 26.
We're all watching.
Why is Andy Reid going for 2? What's the point?
I have no idea. I have no
idea. Maybe I'm upset about the pick 6. I don't know.
Or other things.
Down 26 and you're still in the game with 2 minutes left? Come on.
319-366-1600. We'll get to basketball coming up here in just a little bit as well. But we want to bring in a friendly voice, Cajun Troy, on a Monday here in Eastern Iowa. Hope you're doing well, Troy.
Yes, I am doing well. And I love the whole watching by city, just being displayed on thing. I tell you, they know how to host events and all the food. So I'm going down for Mardi Gras in 2 weeks. So
nice.
I can't wait. Yeah. So and that's what I always tell people. I'm always impressed with the cops and the security because they do a darn good job, and such, with so many crazy people, But there's one thing I have to say, and I know you understand this. There's a reason why there hasn't been three straight Super Bowl wins because it's hard. It's hard, and so you just, even if, as a player, you just cannot keep that up, and then you lose so many players, and because it's starting already. Well, Philadelphia could win 3 in a row. I don't think it's not going to happen. It's a tough sport. It really is, or whatever, But Kansas City fans should be proud. But I was looking at Mahomes, and I'm like, God, he looks like Derek Carr playing in the Superdome. you could tell he was just so uncomfortable, and that's what Brady kept bringing it up with his feet, So, because it's just it. And those, when you have a good front four, and I think Tampa Bay had that one time, well, you don't have to do anything but just keep those guys. And, I agree. I think the front four should have just been the MVP.
I agree.
Yeah, so it's just, but you got to, he's a young man at quarterback. They got to get the offensive line together, and they'll continue to beat Baltimore and Buffalo. we'll see. And we get a new coach, and I'm sure we're going to have him for like 2 years, and then he's going to be like, I can't do nothing with this team.
All right. Have fun at Mardi Gras, Troy.
Yes, I certainly will. All right, hon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program for a Monday, the post-Super Bowl edition. And it is hard. It is darn hard. And I am, as a Chief fan, I am still very happy and very proud that they made it.
Well, there's a reason it hasn't been done since the Packers. I mean, Brady never did it. Way back when, 60 years ago, it was the NFL wasn't as deep. They played fewer games. The Packers are just that good. So, I mean, there's been good teams come and go in the you know, many years. The Pittsburgh Steelers. I can go on and on and on, but it's hard to win three in a row, and Philadelphia proved it.
Yeah, certainly did. Whoops, sorry, Isaac. Go ahead.
Troy also told me that they like the halftime show.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not. Yeah.
It's not. I know. I'm just.
It's not my cup of tea.
It's not everyone's cup of tea. I really liked it. But no, I think you nailed it. The front four for the Eagles really was the difference maker there. Vic Fangio, I mean, I think they ended the game with like a 38% pressure rate, just something crazy.
I think it was over 40%, I thought.
At one point, it was a 52% pressure rate. It was like midway through the fourth quarter. So I think they started backing off just a little bit.
Oh, they did, yeah, toward the end.
Yeah, so that's kind of where the pressure rate drops. But at one point, they had a 52% pressure rate, which is just insane for rushing four. I know it's been done before in the Super Bowl. I can't remember the last time the teams like never blitzed or anything like that. And cover four absolutely crushed the Chiefs. The Eagles played zone every single snap except for two snaps. And I think I saw it was like the vast majority of that coverage was in cover four. And Vic Fangio, just I think he deserves a ton of credit, especially coming off last season with the Dolphins, where he basically was run out of town because the team hated playing for him. I don't know why. The defensive players really did not like him. And I'm happy to see him succeed because he is he's one of the best defensive minds in the league. And to see him get the credit he very much deserves now, I think it's pretty, it's good. It's good to see. It's the same way I feel when Spags gets his credit, because I think he's one of the best defensive minds as well, with his creativity with blitzes. And those two have really impacted how modern defenses play and the strategies they implement in, you know, to counteract like passing games and stuff like that.
Yeah, and like I said, I think that there wasn't a bad defensive day by Kansas City. I mean, if you told me before the game that you were going to hold the Philadelphia Eagles to 345 yards, I would have taken it. I'd said, okay, yep, sign me up. I'm okay with that. 319-366-1600. Taylor's going to be fine. 80-98. Already. Except I think she's more upset that she got booed. What really, and see if you guys agree with me, what really surprised me, Mark and Isaac, was the fact, to me, it sounded like either the Eagle fans were making a ton more noise than they were during the game, obviously, but it sounded like it was three quarters Philadelphia fans over Kansas City fans. And I get it. America hates the Kansas City Chiefs. Does America still hate the Chiefs today? Probably not as much. They probably still do. I get it. But man, that was a pro Philadelphia crowd there yesterday. And, you know, keep in mind, Taylor, they did boo Santa Claus as well.
Well, she was only shown once during the broadcast, and thank goodness for that. A lot of other celebrities were shown in the stands, but you know, I got the sense that, and Philadelphia had a lot to cheer for. Whatever fans that were there, they were loud and they were into it. The Chiefs didn't have much to cheer about, and maybe it was tainted in that regard. I don't know, but I really don't think we're given or talking enough about Cooper DeJean, because, you know, just a week ago we were talking about all the stars aligned for the Iowa women with Caitlin Clark and the ceremony and Iowa beating USC, and you couldn't have written a script better. And here's a rookie on his 22nd birthday, becoming the only player to return an interception in the Super Bowl for a touchdown, his first career interception, on and on and on, and the story about being from a consolidated school district and small, you know, up in northwest Iowa. That was a hell of a story, I thought.
I think this makes up for the fair catch. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think this is now a new career highlight for him, for sure.
I think it makes up for the fair catch.
I will say, I did sound like the Eagles fans were more present in there, but I also just think the Eagles had more to give their fans to cheer about.
Well, even before the game.
Yeah, I guess. But even then, it just felt like, I mean, it's hard for me to really remember all about the way back to the first quarter. It felt like it was all Eagles fans because the game felt like it was all Eagles at some point. So it was hard to really judge, I think, the crowd makeup.
319-366-1600. And yes, 5308 saying, seeing Cooper DeJean walking into the locker room wearing his OABCIG Letterman's jacket was pretty sweet.
Yes, it was.
The Fighting Falcons, by the way, of Odebolt, Arthur, Battle Creek, Ida Grove. 11:56, Mark. The Eagles reminded me of the 85 Bears. Good defense. Hard to compare defenses between that era and this era because it's a lot more passing in this era, a lot more wide open offenses. But I get your meaning on that. And yes, credit to the Chiefs. At least they were at the Super Bowl to take a shot at three straight. Thank you.
I will say the Eagles' offensive line also did a really good job at picking up blitzes.
They're huge.
I felt they're massive one, but also if you're going to play the Chiefs, you have to do a really great job at identifying blitz packages and identifying where the blitz is coming from so you can take advantage of the one-on-one matchups on the outside, which they did with A.J. Brown specifically because he's just a man killer. So is Devontae Smith. Obviously, he's super fast, so he can beat you with straight-line speed. But they did a great job at picking up the blitzes, identifying blitzes, apart from the Hurts pick where I think Nick Bolton had a free shot at him and made him underthrow it. But the Eagles' offensive line did a great job at picking up the blitzes and giving their receivers one-on-one opportunities on the outside.
And Barkley did, too. Barkley picked up a couple.
Yeah.
The Chiefs had to abandon everything after it was 24-0. I mean, they just came. If you follow Kansas City football, Spags doesn't usually blitz until late. And they were blitzing second quarter. They were doing the shell against Jalen Hurts early, not really going after him, just kind of keeping him in the pocket. That got abandoned early in the second quarter, too, and that's when he started running a little bit. Again, credit to the Philadelphia Eagles. 319-366-1600. 0560 says Coop would have been a better quarterback than what Iowa had. Just bask in the glory of Odebolt, Iowa's favorite son. Let's just do that. And I'm glad I could help you 6230 and make somebody's day a little bit brighter for the sage advice with DeAndre Hopkins. 20 turned into 105. Glad I could help. All right, let's get to an Evil Sideways scoreboard update. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more periphery of the Super Bowl, and then we'll get to basketball. After we get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. What do we got?
Scott, you know, Monday is poll day and men's college basketball. The AP and coaches' polls differ on the number one team. Auburn remained number one by AP, but Alabama was installed as the new top team by the coaches. Auburn plays at Alabama on Saturday. Iowa State is number 10 in both polls. In high school boys basketball, Linmar has moved up to number 3 from number 4 in the Class 4A poll, of which Scott Unas is part of, after a strong week. Kennedy dropped from 3 to 6, and Linmar plays at number 5 Dubuque Senior this Friday night. After first committing, Tiger Woods now has withdrawn from this week's Genesis Open Golf Tournament. Wood said the reason of that is that he still is processing his mother's death last week. And finally, the Milwaukee Brewers will honor beloved Bob Uecker this season. A patch memorializing Uecker will be attached to uniforms. Uecker died in January at age 90.
319-366-1600. Couple things to get to. First of all, let's honor our final winner of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, Mark, from last Friday, our Super Bowl edition. Let us know how that came out.
Yeah, Dave won the picks with a 4-2 record, and I was 3-3, and you and Spencer were 2-4. Dave won the picks on that 50-yard touchdown pass. That Mahomes threw with 2 minutes left in the game when he didn't need to be in the game.
Greg differs with you on that, by the way. Well, did you read that?
Greg, they score. They still need the ball twice with a minute and a half. Come on, dude. Time to wave the white flag.
I wanted Carson Wentz in there against his old team.
We waved the white flag to Dave this week and to a lucky winner of a Emil's Hideaway gift card.
That would be Shane. I also have your final winner stats for weeks. I know you're going to give out the final overall numbers there.
Greg's unhappy with me, by the way.
No, Scott won 12 times. Mark, you won 4 times. Spencer won 2. Dave won 5.
I had a good year.
Yeah.
Except twice when Greg.
Again,
I'm sorry, Greg.
You beat everyone combined for week totalage. I'm sure Mark will give out the overall numbers there.
All right.
Scott had it wrapped up a week or two ago. 77-61. Dave finished second. Even Steven, 69 up, 69 down. Spencer was third, and I was fourth, but only by a game.
All right. We'll do her again next year, and a big thanks to Emil's Hideaway. Also want to let you know before we get to break here about our nationwide contest. Pay off your holiday bills, and you can get more information to be entered in the $5,000 nationwide contest at our website at kgymradio.com. And go ahead and check that out. We'll come back and have more for you in a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Stick with us. More to come after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. Clouds will be building in as the rest of the day goes on. Temperatures will be held to around 30. Tonight, a cold front will be pushing through and leading to the clouds, a bit of wind, and some very light snow showers overnight. Temperatures will drop down to a low around 10, and then tomorrow will be colder with highs in the low 20s under mostly cloudy skies. The clouds stick around as another storm system approaches, leading to widespread snow and slick streets through the day on Wednesday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. And time for this from Quickstar. You are getting ready for all of your winter needs, especially if we are going to get this snow, they've got soup bags and roasted whole chicken available for you. Soup bags on special, 36 to 40 ounce for $6.99. That is every Tuesday. You can heat up on those cold winter days when you need to go out and shovel that snow or get that snowblower ready to go. They also have roasted whole chicken on special for $6.99 every Monday, hot and ready for any meal or meal prep. And also, they got some great specials going on right now. While you're there at your neighborhood Quick Star, pick up Quickery White Bread, 99 cents per loaf, limit 2, and the Quickery Cheese Mountain Pizza, $9.99 for traditional and specialty, or $6.99 thin and assorted varieties. All that available at the friendly neighborhood Quick Star.
People are different. People want to be treated differently. We don't take you through a process.
We're going to cater the process to them to buy the vehicle the way they want to buy it.
Patrick Eads and Terry Adams of Dairy Brothers Ford talk about what Here For You means to them.
When it's right for you, from a time to a budget, it's not about when we're ready to do it, it's about when you're ready to do it.
no worries, no rush at all.
That's one of the things that that I would say Here For You also means.
That's the goal. That is the goal.
Find out what it means to you at Deary Ford in Iowa City.
Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate. Paid for by Bayer.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Text enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Being young with unlimited energy to burn ever since I turned 40. I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
All guys lose their edge when they turn 40. The body has less testosterone. That's why I take Nugenix Total T.
I've heard about Nugenix. That really works?
Since I started taking Nugenix, I'm lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. I feel more energized at work. It's even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try?
Yep, send a text. It's that easy.
Text LIKE to 424-24 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. It's the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now and they'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, their newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text LIKE to 42424. That's LIKE to 42424.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We're back, 3:36, right on the button on a Monday edition of the Gym Class here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 until 6, and then we've got the Cyclone Coaches Show coming tonight, 6:30 until 8, before Iowa State is back in action tomorrow evening. Before we leave the Super Bowl, Mark, everyone wants to talk about all the periphery. You mentioned there were many, many celebrities there. Were you as mad as most people about the brand new Fox score bug and everything associated with it as the public seemed to be yesterday?
It wasn't good, but I can get mad at a lot more things than that. The graphics lacked, but and I don't know why that was. It was almost dumbed down for some reason, but I didn't make a big deal out of it.
I liked the fact that they had a lot of information with it. If you didn't like the KC and the PHI, maybe it looked a little old school. I don't know. I get it. I'm not going to get upset about it, but I liked the fact that they gave all sorts of information alongside of it. And I think people kind of lost track and lost focus on that, but hey, it is what it is. People don't like change. Best commercial. What'd you think?
What did I think? I had a couple, three. I love the Budweiser commercials, especially the one with the horse and the keg. I thought it was great. I love the Nike commercial featuring women athletes, including Caitlin Clark. And I was kind of partial to the Lay's commercial where the little girl was planted a she was going to grow potatoes and finally dug the potato out of the ground and put it on the cart. And yeah, it was kind of touching. I'm kind of sentimental in that regard.
That was one of my three favorites.
Yeah.
That was one of them. Nothing beat the Bud Light commercial. Nothing beat the cul-de-sac party Bud Light commercial. Waited the entire game for that. And I believe it was in the third quarter with Shane Gillis and Post Malone and Peyton Manning wearing a fanny pack. and the smoker that cuts grass. You cut grass with your smoker? No, my smoker cuts grass. That was my favorite by a long shot. I did like the Lay's one, the Nike with Caitlin Clark and others. Also, I thought very good. Other than that, I thought it was kind of a commercial year. So
I agree with Greg and Epworth about the Nike girls flag football commercial too. I thought that was pretty good. Brad, I can read. That was good.
Yeah, that was good. The Duncan one, it was okay. It was the very first one out of the shoot, and I don't think I was quite ready for it. Well, Isaac, what'd you like?
I'm going to be honest, I did not pay attention to hardly any of the commercials. The only one that made me really look up was the one, because it looks so weird, was Seal as a Seal. That
was weird.
Just because I was like, what? I had no idea what was happening. I looked up. I was like, what is on my TV right now? I did watch the Caitlin Clark one just because Caitlin Clark, Iowa, all that stuff. But apart from that, I did not pay attention to the commercials. unless there was something really strange going on, I was not in tune with those.
Yeah. That is football. We can now put it away for 7 weeks until the UFL comes upon us for 2025, and we'll see what obscure kicker will be on an NFL roster, or a couple of wide receivers. They'll populate a couple of NFL. Maybe there's a tackle on there that the Chiefs could find. We'll see. They need one. 319-366-1600. We had basketball over the weekend and a big bounce back for the Iowa State Cyclones on Saturday. Hey, look what happens when you put some three-pointers down. And they did. Curtis Jones, Momcilovic, back in the lineup. I got to say, I was a little bit surprised he is back this soon. I hope Iowa State is not pushing it a little bit too early. TCU is not a great basketball team, but with Milan Momcilovic coming back and with Curtis Jones hitting threes like he has done previously, Iowa State had very, and by the way, ESPN College Game Day being there as well. There was little drama in the game in Ames on Saturday.
Yeah, the gang was all back together. I too was surprised Momcilovic dressed and contributed as much as he did. And I think he spaces the floor out. And maybe that will jumpstart this offense. I don't know. No, TCU is not very good. And good times again in Ames, and we'll see the rest. What is there, 7-8 games left in the regular season, something like that?
Ish.
Yeah.
Ish. That's the good news. Then there was, well, if you're Greg and Epworth, you had good news because Wisconsin beat Iowa, and he's a big Badger fan, 74-63. Hawks now 13-10 on the year. As I told you earlier today, this Wisconsin team, they don't wow you. Tanjay is good, really good. But Greg Gard gets them to play defense. They do just enough offensively to win the basketball game. Didn't crush Iowa on the boards. Iowa held their own. 42-38 advantage for Wisconsin on the boards. But Wisconsin got to the free throw line a whole lot more. Same sad story. If you're an Iowa fan, take it right at Sanford. Take it right at Dix. With bigger players and others, it's just not those two. And then Iowa didn't shoot the ball very well and translates to another loss. And now two straight on the road for the Hawkeyes on the East Coast. They go to Piscataway, and then they go to College Park on Sunday against a very angry bunch of Maryland Terrapins. So it's not getting a lot easier for Iowa, and that you got to avoid that bottom three, and right now that is a serious possibility.
Yeah, the season will come to an end very quickly here for the Iowa men, and I thought it was another game of really good effort for the Iowa men. Just that scoring drought it had in the second half, and as far as Wisconsin goes, I think the sum is greater than the parts. Tanjay is terrific. Blackwell is really good. A Crowell can hurt you inside and out. But there's no spectacular player. And I guess you don't really need one. This is a really solid basketball team. Is it the best in the Big Ten? Probably not. But it's a really, really good one. And Iowa had an opportunity to get Wisconsin. And short of that scoring drought, it gave Wisconsin everything it wanted. I thought Seydou Traore had a heck of a game. He had his shortcomings a little bit on defense, but I thought he played a terrific game. And I'm interested to see how Thelwell's foot is. I know he came back into the game after turning the ankle or whatever he did. But that would certainly put more of a damper on this Iowa team.
Price Sanford, I thought, was very good coming off the bench as well. Better than Big Brother was on Saturday. Traore was all right. Dix, Thelwell, I mean, senior season, time's running out. If you can go, you got to go at this point. I don't get the Ryan Mulvey 2 minutes at each half, and then we don't see him again. Evan Bronz didn't play a whole lot. Dembele was okay. He was okay. I mean, it wasn't a horrible, horrible Iowa game on Saturday. Just not, you didn't do anything spectacular enough to beat a good team. And that's twice this week that they had that happen. 319-366-1600. 1345. Good to have Mochilovich back in the lineup. And at least Wisconsin didn't shoot 67% from three. True.
I don't get the idea that Iowa, or the players that has quit on Fran McCaffrey.
They haven't.
I don't get that idea at all. I wondered a couple games, especially out on the West Coast, but in the last couple of games, I thought these guys are playing as hard as they possibly can.
They are, and I've taken notice of that down at the games. This team has not quit. They're still out there. They're trying very, very hard. They just don't have the firepower right now.
I will say the moral victories of, like, they're still trying really hard or they're playing these teams tough only works if it eventually leads to wins, I think, for the team. Like, it only satisfies the fan base if it eventually gives them hope for future wins. And I guess right now it does not seem like there's very many wins on the rest of the schedule for Iowa. I mean, they're going to be favored in one game of their last, what, they have eight left? They're going to be favored in one game, the Washington game, and that's it.
The Washington game, probably.
And so, again, like, I do credit them for, you know, not giving up, but it's not going to be enough to sort of satisfy the fan base and keep them calm for the rest of the year or anything like that.
Yeah, Beth Getz, if this goes 1-7 the rest of the way and no Big Ten tournament, is going to have a lot of decisions to make.
I think in large part, although you were there, Scott, you can speak about the crowd, but I just sense there's the apathy is pretty large out there right now for Iowa basketball. Not the women, just the men.
No, we'll get to the women coming up in a moment, but it was for this year, I hate to say good crowd, but it was one of the better crowds. Now, there were certainly Wisconsin people there that helped out. But on a Saturday at 12 noon, you're going to get some folks there, and they got some folks there. Are they going to come back? Was it just a one-off? I have no idea. You hear things walking around the arena, and you hear disgruntled people saying something about tickets and next year and overhearing that. And that's the question that Beth Getz has to answer at the end of the year if this thing doesn't turn around. Is this thing still making money? Yeah, but is that your focus at this point? You got to put something competitive out there, and they are competitive, but just not getting the wins at this time. Bottom line.
We've been down this road a lot, and I don't know what the answer is other than to put a better product out on the floor. Maybe a better halftime show. I don't know. There's a lot of halftime shows.
Red Panda was there this year once. Well, Red Panda.
She's a star. She's a star, but you can't just, you know. Come on. Think outside the box a little bit.
we gotta have one of those shooting contests where someone gets $10,000. I would be on my feet for that. I'd be amped up if I saw some student out there getting $10,000 from some insurance company like UMass or something like that.
Yeah, that was at UMass.
Yep. I would be cheering loud for them.
319-366-1600. Purdue, Michigan State, and Michigan all with two losses leading the Big Ten. Houston and Arizona, 11-1 on top of the Big 12 by two games over Texas Tech, three over Iowa State. The rest of the Big 12, I don't get Kansas. I have watched college basketball for a long, 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 long time. I cannot figure out this year's Kansas Jayhawk team. They can look great for 20 minutes, and then they look like they could lose to, you know, anybody in Division I basketball. The Missouri Valley, Drake almost slipped on the banana peel on Saturday night. Had to go overtime in Des Moines, but they beat Indiana State to go to 22-2. By a score of 85-81. You and I got a nice win at home over Illinois State, 68-65 for their 16th win. So those two teams still kind of hanging on right now to the first and second spots in the Missouri Valley. Bradley tied with you and I right now for second, but Drake, you're wondering their net climbed, Mark, your net update on a Monday. Drake is up to number 57 now. In the net.
Yeah, and only two other teams in the Valley in double digits. Everybody else is 120, 113, 117. Tells you a little bit about the league. But I watched the UNI Illinois State game partly because our friend Kevin Lehman was on the call.
Did a great job.
Yeah, and Illinois State had that game won. I didn't think UNI was going to come back, make it all the way back, but it did. And look at Ben Jacobson, tied for second in the Valley.
Could get into the tournament. Be great to see Drake or you and I in the tournament. We know Iowa State's going to be there. It'd be great to have some more representation as far as the state of Iowa is concerned. We're going to talk about women's basketball. Big one tonight in the Big Ten. And we'll do that after a final break here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. So stay with us. More to come after this here on 1600 ESPN.
Did your IT provider break up with you? Or did they raise your managed services rate sky high? I'm sorry to hear that. This is Patty with Network Computer Solutions. At NCS, small businesses are just as important as bigger ones and deserve the same exceptional IT services. Give us a call at 319-247-7223. We'll talk over what you need and how we can help. NCS would be honored to welcome you into our circle. Call today.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family can have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
Back with you at 3:53 here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. KJ Pilcher comes up with us tomorrow, talk some wrestling and more. That'll be on the Tuesday edition of the program. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And Mark 8892 is taking umbrage with the fact that we are saying that Iowa men's basketball is being competitive. He says they are not competitive because they're not going to finish in the top 15. I guess I'm saying competitive because they're in these games. They're not losing by 30. They're losing by single digits. They had a good game against Purdue. Purdue's better. Yeah. Purdue won. It was a competitive game on Saturday.
Yeah, it's just a 5-minute stretch, 8-minute stretch, whatever it may be. But largely, at least the last couple outings have been very competitive. It wasn't a very good West Coast trip. And it wasn't a good trip up at Wisconsin. Those were awful games. But the last couple, they've been competitive.
Not winning, though. That's what people want to see. That's what people want to see. Iowa women and Nebraska tonight, a key Big Ten game from the Pinnacle Bank Arena in Lincoln. 7 o'clock, I believe, is a tip-off for that one. The Huskers ahead of Iowa in the standings. Iowa 6-6, Nebraska at 7-5. Iowa has the net advantage, though. Iowa right now at 29. Hawks have won 4 in a row. This is a huge game for both Iowa and Nebraska as far as their postseason hopes are concerned tonight.
Iowa has been practicing free throws since that last overtime loss to Nebraska. I'm quite sure of that. Missed free throws contributed to blowing an 11-point lead and ultimately losing an overtime at home to Nebraska. The Hawks are favored, road favorites tonight by 2.5. But it's another one of those 50-50 games. Should Iowa win, it can move into the upper division of the Big Ten. And really a large group there at 7-5, 7-6, 6-6. So, again, it's another 50-50 game, and I think it's a big one for Iowa.
It is. It is. And it goes for Nebraska as well. Very big game for the Cornhuskers. And last year, that was one of the bigger games when you talked about the Caitlin Clark effect. That there were many. That was when they were lined up at 6 o'clock outside Pinnacle Bank Arena to get in. Going to be interesting. There'll be a new edition of Bracketology with Charlie Crean coming out tomorrow. And a lot of it's going to depend on how Iowa-Nebraska comes out tonight. So, yeah, we'll see. Going to be a fun game. Going to be a fun atmosphere. Always is when Iowa and Nebraska get together, whether it's women's basketball, wrestling. Did we have any were there any coaching hassles on Friday night, Isaac?
No, he wasn't too bad. Not very talkative. But,
okay. That's unusual for Iowa-Nebraska.
He was all right. I will say the Nebraska head coach, I'm completely blanking on his name right now. He was in prime form. Yes. Manning, yeah, he was in prime form to start. He did cool off a little bit as the duel went on, though. He was getting a little aggressive to begin the duel, though.
Well, they had a good duel. Nebraska wrestled well.
Yeah.
In that meet. We'll talk a little bit about that. Had a great Saturday at the state duels as well. Al Burnett and Don Bosco came right down to the wire. That was a good one. They've hit upon a very good formula for that, so that's good to see. And by the way, just out about a half an hour ago, if you're a high school basketball boys fan, the 1A and 2A districts have been released. So next week it'll be the 3A and the 4A classes will come out next week. All right, Mark, we will talk again coming up tomorrow. We'll look back on Iowa-Nebraska women's basketball and a whole lot more. And talk some wrestling with you as well on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Looking forward to it.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here in Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next. He'll take you from 4 until 6, and then the Cyclone Coaches Show tonight. That will be at 6:30. Have a great night, everybody.
Progressive knows not all rides are smooth. Meet Sarah. She loves her motorcycle. What she doesn't love is when it suddenly rains. As she sits underneath a bridge waiting for it to stop, she grows quite fond of the graffiti on the overpass. She really likes the one with John Hart's Claire and wonders if they're still together. Not every ride is smooth, but Progressive has your back. Get an online quote in as little as...